We are up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. And you have the Mishnah here on the very beginning of the sheet, number Aleph. Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzereda, v'Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim. They taught us the following lesson. One we're going to learn this week. One is the Mishnah for next week. Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzereda. Yossi ben Yoezer taught us three lessons. All of them are connected, and we'll see throughout the duration of the shiur how important they are, and how one feeds off of the other. So let us begin. Yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. One's home should be a place where chachamim, where wise people, are comfortable being. Number two, ve'heve misabek ba'afar ragleihem. Hard to really translate what exactly that means. Misabek. Anyone recognize that phrase? Any Tanakh teachers here? Where do we find the phrase in Chumash? The Malach and Yaakov, very good. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, Vaye Avek Ish Imo, means that Yaakov had some sort of fight, some sort of disagreement. So what does this mean? We should have a fight with our teachers? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that it means, Heve Misavek Ba'afar Aglea, means we should try to challenge our teachers until we come to a complete understanding of what it is that they're trying to convey to us. If we just sit and accept everything that they say, we might not really come out with a proper understanding. And therefore, he says, that is what it means, have a misavek ba'afar ragleim. Number three, have a shose batzama es devreim. One should appreciate and be passionate with a longing for the teachings of whoever it is that they are studying from. So these are the three messages of our Mishnah. And it's just interesting to note how we learned, if you remember a few months back, we learned one of the opening Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos was Shimon HaTzadik, who was Mishayari Knesses HaGedola. Shimon HaTzadik taught us al shlosh hadvarim ha'olam omed. We're all familiar with this Mishnah, al HaTorah, ve'al ha'avoda, ve'al gemilas chasadim. And then the three subsequent Mishnayos after that, basically are his students breaking down those three pillars. So number one, we have Al HaTorah, Ve'al HaAvodah, Ve'al Gemilas Chasadim. The first Mishnah after Shimon HaTzadik, for those who remember, explain what is the right way to do Avodah. What is the right way to have a relationship and to serve God? What was that? As we said in the Mishnah, Al Tuhu Ka'avadim HaMisham Shim Esarav Al Manas L'Kabel Pras. We should not have a relationship with God where it's always a tit for a tat, where we're always looking forward to the reward, but rather we should be like Avadim, Shalo al Manas l'Kabel Pras. That was his interpretation of what his Rebbe meant when he said, the world stands on Avodah. Our Mishnah here picks up on what does it mean when the Torah is one of the pillars of the world. Well, says the Mishnah, the way to accomplish that is, Yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. Our home should be a place where Talmidei Chachamim frequent, where we have the opportunity for them to gather, where they feel comfortable. That is what his Rebbe meant when he said that the world stands on Torah. And the next Mishnah that we'll learn next week is Al Gemilas Chasadim. And there, once again, the Mishnah tells us that Yihi Beischa Pasuach Lirvecha, we should open our homes to all those who need help, and we should be welcoming in to those who are perhaps underprivileged and don't have the opportunity to have the homes that we have. So that is the basic structure of the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. It's just an extrapolation of the original teaching of Shimon HaTzadik. So let us get into the discussion of our Mishnah, and let us see what we can learn practically from the great teaching of Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzereda. So let us begin with the following. In order to appreciate the importance of this Mishnah, I'd like to just spend a few minutes talking about how critical it is, the environment and the conditions, the surroundings that we create for ourselves. To make sure that we have an atmosphere in our homes, which is a constructive, a positive, and a good atmosphere, not only for ourselves, but for our children and for all those who frequent our homes. So let's begin with the Rambam. And the Rambam says something which I think to all of us should be quite obvious, but it's always very important for us to think about the words of this Rambam. The Rambam can be found in Perek Vav, in Hilchos Deos, Halacha Aleph. And in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam shares many, many inyane hashkafa, not so much halacha, but many thoughts of Jewish philosophy and the right way of life. And here the Rambam in Perek Vav tells us the following. Derech b'riyaso shel adam. Human nature is, and we all know this to be true, human nature is that we are nimshach b'deosav uvamasav achareyav v'chaverav. We are very heavily influenced and motivated and persuaded by our friends, by our community, by our society. And we all know this to be true. V'noag b'minag anshe medinaso. We make decisions very much based off of what our community's norms are. The decisions that we make are often reflective of what our community stands for, of what our community standards are. So, you know, I was just away in Houston, Texas last week. There's something very special about being out of town. Something very nice about being out of town. So someone from the shul called me and said, don't get too comfortable there. It was a very nice time away. But I have to say, when you go to other communities and you just move out of our little bubble here that we live in, you begin to realize and you understand that many other communities have a very different list of priorities than perhaps we do. That they live life very differently than we do. That their decisions that they make and the choices that they make in life are perhaps going to be very different, sometimes better, sometimes worse. Just very different from the priorities that we have here. And we all think, you know, everybody thinks that the choices that they make are perfect and the life that they live is normal. And everybody else is abnormal. So if you live in this community, you're too much to the right. If you live in that community, you're too much to the left. And whatever decisions and whatever norms they have in that community are just way beyond. And whatever we do in our community is just perfect. But says the Rambam, that is all because that's human nature. That we become used to the society that we have planted ourselves into, that we have decided to be a part of. And all of our decisions, or many of our decisions, are reflective of the community that we consider ourselves to be a part of. So this past week, my first nephew got engaged. My sister's oldest child. I know, I'm not old enough to have a nephew getting married. It's a good question. However, I was very taken by watching. I was not there because he got engaged in Israel. We hope to be able to make it for the wedding. It's the week before Pesach. So we'll be back for Yontif, don't worry. So I was amazed. My sister lives in a small community by the name of Chispin. It's a small community, a beautiful community in the Ramat HaGolan. Her son got engaged to a young woman from the community of Tapuach. God knows where Tapuach is. South. Totally different end of the country. And I was amazed. You know, he met this girl waiting for a bus one day. Whatever it is, a nice story. We should all find those kinds of bus stations. But anyway, so I was amazed. My sister sent us the videos from the L'chaim they had last week. And I said, you know, when we have a L'chaim, we spend a half a day figuring out what are we going to wear, and is it this kind of L'chaim, is it that fancy, does this outfit make sense, does it not, should I eat dinner before I go, what are they going to serve there, it's milchigs, it's fleishigs, make ourselves crazy for a half a day figuring out what are we going to do. My sister sends me the videos of this amazing L'chaim that her son had last week. And everybody just shows up from wherever they are. Nobody gets dressed up at all. Everybody just shows up, and you know what? They're all happy. And they're all happy. And what do they serve there? Nothing. And what kind of music do they have? She told me all of his friends from the army happened to have gotten out last week. So this one brought his flute, and that one brought his guitar, and they had a makeshift band. And you know what? I'm watching these videos. They look so much happier than we are. Says the Rambam, it's all what you're used to. It's all community standards. It's all the norms that we've gotten used to. And we make ourselves crazy sometimes because this is what our community has gotten used to. Because this is what we assume to be normal. And we don't realize that out there in the world, this is completely abnormal. This is not something that gives people quality of life at all. So the week before I was in Houston, we had an amazing trip, 8 Rabbanim. Somebody sponsored for 8 young rabbis my age to all go to Israel together. And to have a week of continued education. It was a very special trip. Israel. Houston was last week. Israel was 2 weeks ago. I know. I'm exhausted. So, one of the comments that my friends made, Rabbi Mati Neuberger from the White Shul, we saw a lot of great people while we were in Israel. And we heard very important things from many of them. And one observation that he had is, you know, every person that we met with, was so happy. Every single one of them. Now, how could it be? How could it be that we all here have more money than any person that we met with? That we all here have much nicer homes, and we all have cars. They don't even have a way of getting around. They take public transportation. How could it be that life here is so comfortable, and yet every single person that we met with, I'm not saying everyone in the world, but every person that we met with 2 weeks ago, it was like you couldn't pay them to take the smile off of their faces. What are we doing wrong? How could it be? We have so many stresses, we have so much going on, but says the Rambam, that is the way of life. That we are nimshach b'deosav uv'masav, that our decision-making process is so often reflective of the community that we choose to live in. And understand that. Says the Rambam, lefikach, because that is the case, tzarech adam lehischaber letzadikim, because we are so heavily influenced by whoever it is that we surround ourselves with, therefore the Rambam says, make those choices carefully. Tzarech adam lehischaber letzadikim, make sure that you associate yourself, make sure that you affiliate yourself with those who are righteous people. V'leishev eitzel hachachamim tamid. Make sure that you spend your time wisely and you use your time spent with others who know how to use time in the right way. Kedei sheyilmod mimaaseihem, in order that we should be able to learn the right way of life from such people. V'yisrachek min harishayim haholchem machoshech. Don't get caught up with the norms of your community that you know might not be the right ones. Choose carefully who you associate yourself with. Choose carefully who you want your family to be exposed to. Who do you invite and engage into your home? We all have choices, either physical human beings who we want in our homes, or sometimes artificially, who is invited into our homes. Who do we want our families exposed to? Who do we put on a pedestal for our children to see? Who do we respect and who do we not? Who do we talk about? What is the topic of conversation in our home? Says the Rambam, all of this makes an impact. It makes an impression on our children. There's somebody who recently was talking to me about how his son is very turned off from Judaism. So what am I supposed to say? I'm not a miracle worker. I said, I'm happy to meet with him. I don't think it will do much. It's just not my field. I'm probably not the best person for him to talk to. But I couldn't help but to think, this person, almost every Shabbos that I speak in the minyan that this person is in, he comes over so cynically and makes fun of whatever it is that I said. Now, I'm not saying I'm the greatest speaker. Couldn't care less. You want to make fun of what I say? Don't listen to me. But you obviously go home and do far worse when I'm not in front of you. I can guarantee you that almost every Shabbos this person comes home and is cynical about whatever Dvar Torah is shared in shul. I can almost guarantee this is what he tells his children. And you wonder why the kid at 20 years old, now that he finally has the right to make his own decisions, you wonder why he's turned off from Judaism? I'm not saying that's the only answer. Maybe there are other reasons. But the attitude that we share with our children, the atmosphere that we create for them, is something that is going to model their behavior. We create those conditions. And therefore, says the Rambam, we need to be careful about who we associate with and what kind of environment and atmosphere we create in our own homes. So we're now reading about the Jewish community who was traveling through the Midbar, coming out of Mitzrayim, on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we know, the Psukim tell us in Parshas Bamidbar that there were very specific locations where each of the Shvatim had to be situated. So you had certain Shvatim to the right, certain to the left, east and west, north and south, and everybody had to be in their place. But says the Medrash as follows. Let's read this together in number Gimel. Medrash Tanchuma and Sefer Bamidbar. Mikan Amru, Ashrei Letzadik V'Ashrei Leshchenav. Praised is a person who was able to be next to the tzaddik. It boded well for them. How do we know that? Elu Shloshes Hashvatim Shayu Smuchim LeMoshe V'Aron. We have the entire Jewish community traveling together around the Mishkan. Moshe and Aaron had to be somewhere in there, and there was somebody who had to be situated right next to Moshe and Aaron, obviously. They're not going to travel themselves. Says the Medrash, those Shvatim who had the great merit of being next to Moshe and Aaron, Nasu Gedolim Batorah, all of their children became the leaders of the Jewish community. You'll say, how did that happen? Why should that be the case? says the Medrash, Yehuda shanamar lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, Yisachar and Zevulun, al shahayu shcheinav kulam nasim b'nei Torah. What do you think? It was magic? Because you're able to live next to Moshe Rabbeinu, that works? No, it's because that's what you expose your children to. And if that's what your children see, that every day you wake up and you look at Moshe Rabbeinu right out the window, and that's who you emulate, and that's who you want them to look up to, Nasu Kulam B'nai Torah, all of them, followed in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. On the flip side, says the Medrash, Min Hadarom, on the other side of the Mishkan, you had B'nai Kahas, Usmuchim Lahem, Ruvain V'Shimon V'Gad, three Shvatim, Ruvain, Shimon, and Gad found themselves right next to Shevet Kahas. Mikan Amru, and from here you learn, Oy l'Rasha v'Oy l'Shcheino. Why? Because Eilu Shloshes HaShvatim Hayu Shcheinim l'Korach v'Adaso Badarom. Their next door neighbor was Korach v'Adaso. So what happens when Korach decides to wreak havoc in the Jewish community and to be involved and embroiled in a machlokes? What happens then? Says the Medrash, what happens is the neighbors start to think that that's the norm, that that's acceptable. And their children begin to join in to that kind of way of life. Why? Because that's what they're exposed to. If you raise your children next to Korach v'Adaso, what do you expect from those children not to act like Korach v'Adaso? How should they know not to? Like the Gemara says, you take a child and you put him bePesach Beis Hazonos. So it's an extreme example. But the Gemara says we take our children and we put them in the craziest of circumstances, in the craziest of places. Says the Gemara, Mayase Osa HaBen Shelo Yechta. How do you expect that child to have some sort of understanding that they should know morally what's the right thing to do? We've conditioned them to do that. We've put them in that place of almost an impossible choice. And says the Medrash, that's what happened to Ruvain, to Shimon, and to Gad. Avdu imo b'machlekuso. They were wiped out because they got involved with Korach. Why'd they get involved? Because that's who they were exposed to. You can be living on the other side with Moshe Rabbeinu. Your children will turn out to be the next leaders of the Jewish people. You can be living on this side with Korach v'Adaso, and your family will be destroyed because you think that that way of life is acceptable. So my father was in the hospital last week. Now he's recovering at home, but he had some time to read things that he otherwise wouldn't read. So I brought him a book. It's an amazingly beautiful book. It's called Ben Shnei Kohanim HaGedolim. It's a story about, somebody did the research about the relationship between the Chafetz Chaim and the great Rav Kook. Very interesting historical piece. So my father was reading through the book and he showed me a story there. I had read the story in a different book, but they have it there as well. Chafetz Chaim had a son-in-law who made Aliyah, who moved to Eretz Yisrael. Now, where else would you want to move in Eretz Yisrael than to Yerushalayim, especially when this was at a time where there weren't such established communities all over the country. So the Chafetz Chaim was told that his son-in-law is going to move to Yerushalayim, to Shaarei Chesed. That's where many of the great people lived in that generation. So the word got out that the son-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, is coming to move to Shaarei Chesed. So they made a big Kabbalas Panim for him, and they had a whole big dinner, whatever it was, the first night that he arrived. Everybody was all excited that the son-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, moved into the neighborhood. The very next day, they see him packing his bags, moving out. So somebody went to him and said, "What's going on? You just got here yesterday. We made a big Kabbalas Panim. We had a big dinner in your honor. What happened?" He said, "My father-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, gave me one instruction. You're moving to Eretz Yisrael, move to wherever you'll feel comfortable. Just listen to my one piece of advice. If a machlokas breaks out in the community, leave immediately." He said he went to shul that night, and he heard that they were fighting about Rav Kook. Is he this? Is he that? We should support him, we shouldn't. He said, "I'm out of here." He moved to Tel Aviv. He moved to Tel Aviv. He said, "I would rather be in Tel Aviv than to be here in a community of machlokas and get myself used to this way of life. This is unacceptable. To be involved in the politics, to be involved in all this fighting? What do I need it for? This is what I want my children exposed to? This is what I want to deal with every day when I go to shul, that everyone's going to be fighting and talking about this nonsense? Who wants this? What kind of life is that? And the son-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, said, I'd rather live in Tel Aviv than to have my family be raised here, when this is what's going on in the community, when this community assumes that this is acceptable. Powerful story. And we learn also from Chazal, this is not only for the weak of heart. It's not only for those who are not strong enough to stand up to the norms of a community that they feel are unacceptable. Who was greater in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu than his two students, Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefune? And yet, when they are singled out to go together with the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu offers special tefillos, and he says, Ka Yoshiacha me'atzas ha-Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going on a trip together with a group of people, I don't know what's going to happen there, and if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have offered that tefillah, you can be the great Yehoshua ben Nun. You can be the great leader, Kaleb ben Yefune. But if someone doesn't intervene, you're going to fall in with the rest of the group. Moshe Rabbeinu had to offer that tefillah before Yehoshua ben Nun left, which means, we learn from that, it doesn't matter how confident and how strong and powerful your personality might be. Human nature is that we all become accustomed to our community, to our surroundings, to the atmosphere that's created around us. And that is so important for us to think about. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, and we all know it to be true. Look at the Mesilas Yesharim, it's in Perakei. Hinei anachnu roim pa'amim rabos. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, we know. Afilu acher shenes ames etzel ha'adam. Even when a person comes to a moment of clarity, when a person has an understanding, what is the right way of life? What is the proper priority for me to be choosing for myself? Even when we come to that mature understanding, which takes people a long time, but even when someone sometimes does come around to that understanding, now I properly know, what is my job? What am I supposed to be focusing on? Often he says, you'll find, Yisrape mimena. The person won't end up doing that. Why? I've come to an understanding of what the right way of life is, of what the right decision and the right choice is supposed to be. Why don't I do it? O yavar al eze dvar mimena why kidei shelo yilag alav chaveirav. O kidei lehis arev imahem. Because I have to feel a sense of belonging. Because I don't want people in my community to laugh at me. So although I know this is the right thing to do, and I've come to an understanding that this is the proper choice for myself, I can't have the strength to do it. I don't have the fortitude to go ahead with that decision because I don't want to stick out from the rest of the community. This is what happens. This is what the power of an atmosphere that we create does to us. The Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Chaf Gimel, much later on in the Sefer, writes the following. This is number hey. Misha'ena Berosha, with all of this in mind, he says, somebody who is responsible, Yizoher v'ya'ayin b'mayse misharotze liknos osa l'chaver o l'yoetz o l'pakid al beso. Choose your friends carefully. Understand that this is a choice that has consequences. Understand that that those who you want to expose your family to makes a difference in your life and in the life of your children. Understand that the committees that you choose to be a part of and the politics that you choose to get involved with have consequences. All of it makes an impression on ourselves and on our families. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, and I can't think more. You know, I love Toddy's bagels. I don't know about anyone else. I think they make great bagels. What I do always find very funny, I happen not to be a big foodie, but what I do find very funny is when I go to Toddy's and you wait online and you hear people's orders. It amazes me every time. I'm not making fun of them. I'm amazed. I wish I even knew all of these options. So people stand there and it's like almost they spent like an hour figuring out what kind of coffee they're going to get and what exactly they want on their bagel, this kind of cream cheese and that kind of omelet and no sugar in the coffee, but this kind of creamer and that kind of milk. And it's like, you listen to this order, it's like you get a headache when you're done. It's unbelievable. And I wonder to myself, you know, how much time did you spend before you got here thinking about what you're going to eat today? It's just food. And your breakfast is going to be over in the next 15 minutes. Then what? What are you going to do now? Think about what you're going to eat for lunch? Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, why do I mention it? He says, we are so particular, we have so many preferences and so many choices, and we consider and we deliberate about what exactly I'm going to eat and what kind of coffee this should make me with the... I don't drink coffee, I don't know, but all of the different options. Maybe I would appreciate it more, but everything, he says, we put so much thought and so much consideration into the food. He says, Yoser, mima sheizar b'ya'ayin b'machalav uv'mishteh. Spend at least that much time thinking about who you choose to associate yourself with. Understand that the consequences of what you ate for breakfast are much less than the consequences of who your friends are and who you choose to surround yourself with. Understand, he says, that hamacha v'hamishta yuchal lahazik l'gufo b'lvad. What if they chalila put in the yolk of that egg into your omelet? What will happen? Or they put some milk into your coffee that was not the low-fat skim milk, whatever it may have been. What will happen? You'll get a stomach ache, maybe. Worst case scenario, you'll vomit because you're just not used to it. Okay, we've all done that. We'll get over it. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, it's mazik lugufa bilvad b'hachaverim. But the friends and the community that you choose to put yourself into, yuchlu lahashchis as nafsho umaodo v'chol kevodo. Understand that these people can absolutely destroy your own reputation. Everything that you've worked so hard to build in your life, all of your successes can be destroyed by those who are around you because they convince you to do things that you know to be wrong. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, doesn't it make sense to at least think at least that amount of time that I would put into the thought of how I'm going to drink my coffee or eat my omelet or whatever it is, at least that much time should be spent thinking about what I want the climate of my family to be like. What kind of tone I want my home to have. What kind of atmosphere, what kind of flavor and feeling will my children have when I condition them in the home that I create for them? What do I want that home to look like? So there's a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, Holech el chachamim yechkam. One who goes to a chacham will become smart. So what is this? Osmosis? If I stand next to Albert Einstein, I'll be smart? It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. Says the Medrash there, a beautiful mashal. I don't often go to buy perfume, but I would imagine that if I worked in a store where they sold perfume, even if I never picked up a bottle, I didn't do anything, I'm just the cashier. Says the Medrash, somebody who stands in a chanuso shel bosem. If you work in such an environment, if you work in such a store, even if you don't purchase any items in the store, even if you don't touch a single bottle, at the end of the day when you go home, you're going to smell positive, you're going to smell good. That's what it means, holeich el chachamim yechkam. The environment that you create makes a difference. It's not by osmosis. If you stand next to smart people, you'll become smart. But if you spend your life with people who have a wisdom of life, if you spend your life with people who have an understanding of what life is really all about, you also will be conditioned to make the right kinds of choices and the right kinds of decisions for what your life should look like as well. That is what our Mishnah teaches here. Yehi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. We have the opportunity, we have the ability to choose to create the conditions of our home. Who is comfortable in our home? If a chacham walks into our home, are they comfortable in that circumstance? Are they comfortable in our surroundings? Is this a place that we've created to condition people who are of that kind of mind to find themselves being comfortable? It's a condition that we can create. It's an atmosphere that we have the opportunity to build and to grow and develop for our children. Yihi beis ha-beis va'ad l'chachamim. Our home should be places where Talmidei Chachamim are a priority, where we hold them to be our role models. We have a choice of who we want our role models to be. There are so many righteous people out there. Teach your children that these are the ones who they should emulate, that these are the ones they should look up to, that these are the ones they should respect. Instead of all of the other choices that perhaps we make, understand that every decision and every choice that we make has its consequences, both positive and negative as well. Now, why does our Mishnah say Talmidei Chachamim? Why them in particular? So there are two reasons. Number one, because we have a Gemara Meseches Ksubos. The Gemara tells us, we have a mitzvah, Uledavkabo, Va'atem hadveikim Hashem Elokeichem. We have a mitzvah that we're supposed to be connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, I find that to be a very difficult mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very hard to relate to Him because He has no physical manifestation. So what does it mean, Uledavka Bo, asked the Gemara? How am I supposed to have a real meaningful relationship with God when He doesn't really exist? When He's not really here? When I cannot physically do anything to Him? What does that mean for us, practically living in this world? So I saw a couple of months ago, there was some, seemed to be a crazy nut job in China somewhere, who got married to his, not to his tree, that at least is something. He got married to his, what's it called? Similar. What's it called? A hot, what's that thing called? When you shine a light in a certain way and it creates hologram. So he got married, he had an actual wedding ceremony to a hologram. There was a reason it was on the news. The guy's nuts. And everywhere he traveled, he always asked his hologram whether or not he should go, and he always took the hologram along with him everywhere, and he gives her a kiss goodnight every night, and he... Crazy. Totally insane. But I couldn't stop but to think, you know, this is the challenge we have. How... Lahavdil. But how are we supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when, at best, it's a hologram to us? We don't have any way of really connecting to it. So yes, there's one guy in the world who figured out how to be in a relationship with a hologram. But for most of us, it's a very difficult task. And what does it mean, asked the Gemara, practically? V'atem advekim Hashem Elokeichem. How do you connect yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam? Says the Gemara as follows. Amar le Rebbe matzasi lehen takana min haTorah. I'll tell you exactly how it's done. Pasuk says, V'atem advekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom v'chiyev shel dvuke b'shchina. Can we really have that kind of relationship with God Himself? V'aksiv, don't we know the Torah also says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochla. If you get too close in proximity to God Himself, you will be consumed by the awesome nature of His spirituality, of God's presence. So what does it mean? Says the Gemara, the answer is, Kalamasi Bita L'Tamad Chacham. V'ha'osa Prakmati L'Tamid Chachamim. Umehane Talmidei Chachamim min Chasav, male alav hakasav ki'ilu medabek b'shchina. We believe that the tzaddikim of every generation are the physical expression. They are the display. They are the manifestation of everything that God represents. It doesn't mean that we pray to them. It doesn't mean some people make a mistake. They think when you go to a tzaddik for a bracha, it means you dive into the tzaddik. They think it means when you go to a grave, you dive into that person. Mistake. We don't dive into anybody else. But we do believe that the values that they uphold in their lives are the manifestation of everything that the Torah represents. These are the great people of every generation, both men and women. Tzaddikim and tzedkaniyos of every generation are the physical manifestation of all that our Torah represents. And therefore, says the Gemara, you want to have a real relationship with God? You want to understand how V'atem hadveikim Hashem Elokeichem. How can I really have a relationship with God that's a meaningful one, that's physical? The answer is, invest of yourself in getting to know the great Talmidei Chachamim, the great tzaddikim and tzidkaniyos of your generation. Understand that by doing that, you will get a better picture of what it means to be a life with God. You will have an understanding of what Shekhinah really is all about in our world. And therefore, says the Gemara, that is really our answer to how we're supposed to develop a relationship with God Himself in our world. By spending time with those who physically embody everything that He stands for. You know, my grandfather used to tell us all the time, when we were children, he used to say, you know, you kids grow up in your house and you have no idea what you're growing up with. It's true. I'll be honest. When I grew up, my father never told us who he really was. When I grew up, I thought my father was the same as my second grade Rebbe. My father said he was a teacher. I also had teachers. Why would I think he was anything different? I also thought, anytime a teacher asks a question in school, I thought everybody goes home and their fathers always know the answers. Because that to me was normal. And my parents never told us that this was unusual, what happened in our home. Never. I had no idea. It wasn't until I got older that I finally understood and appreciated what it is that we were raised with. And my grandfather used to tell us all the time as children. He said, you don't understand. You have a walking Sefer Torah in your house. You don't understand what that means. And I didn't understand what it meant. But he used to tell it to us all the time. He said, appreciate the gift of what that means. Understand that that is a manifestation of everything that the Torah represents. You have it in your home. You see it all the time. And until my grandfather pointed it out to us, I don't think I ever realized it on my own. I just never saw it. But that's what we need to do, says the Gemara. We need to make those our role models. We need to make those people comfortable in our homes. Yehi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. You know, my children now, I tried to make sure they don't repeat the mistake that I made of not realizing this. And I try very hard to teach my children how lucky they are to have a grandfather like my father. So all the time, my kids call my father with questions. Even if I know the answers, I ask them to call my father. When we have Talmidei Chachamim who come to my home, I encourage my children, these are your role models. These are the people you should ask questions to. These are the people if something's bothering you in life, whatever it is, something about Torah life or something about any other aspect of your life, discuss it with them. Discuss it with them. I want that our home should be a place which is a beis va'ad l'chachamim, where somebody who is wise, where somebody who understands what life is all about should be comfortable in my home. It's such an important value for us because it's the conditions that we create, and we have the ability to create those conditions, but not only because they manifest what the Shekhinah is all about, but the Gemara tells us even further, even more than that. The great Rabbeinu HaKadosh, right? His name was Rebbe. So the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, a fascinating statement. Rebbe said, if you look at number Ches on the second side of the page, Amar Rebbe, Hai de mechadadna mechavroi. Why am I sharper than all of my friends, than all of my colleagues? Why is it that I'm more successful in my learning than anyone else of my generation? You know why he says? I attribute it to this. I attribute it because de chazite l'Rab Meir me'achorei. Because one time in my life, I had the opportunity to be exposed to the great Tana Rab Meir from the back of his head. I didn't even see his face. But one time in my life, I was exposed to greatness. And as a result of that, he says, I feel that I am more successful than all of my colleagues because I had that opportunity, because I had that experience. We need to allow ourselves to be exposed to greatness. Greatness in many different ways. It doesn't only mean greatness in Torah, it means great people. Allow those people to be your role models. Understand that there are so many great people in the world who we should allow our children to emulate and look up to. Rebbe says the reason why I was successful more so than anyone else is because I one time in my life saw Rav Meir Me'achore, and that made such an impression on me. So a number of years ago, I read a story. There's a book called Nichocha Shel Torah. It's a biography about Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, who was a great Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. Not the same Rav Moshe Shapiro that many of us heard of. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was a very important Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He said the following story. And he used to get up in his yeshiva and say this, and he said it in his 90s. He said it still in his 90s. You'll understand why his age makes a difference. He says, Bialdusi, when I was a child, I was playing with my friends, like all 5 and 6 year old children do. So I don't know what they had in Europe, a sandbox or whatever it is they were playing with. And he says, that's what I was doing. My father, Rabbeinu Aryeh Shapiro, who was the Rav in Bialystok, comes to the plant, to the playground, to the sandbox, whatever it was, v'hodiyali, and he lets me know that the Chafetz Chaim is passing through on a train. He's going to pass through Bialystok, and he has to get out for a few minutes to switch to the other train. So my father told me the Chafetz Chaim is coming at 12 o'clock. The whole community is coming to see the Chafetz Chaim for those 2 minutes while he switches from one train to the other in Bialystok. My father said, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Make sure that at 12 o'clock you'll be there. He said, I was a kid. I was 5, 6 years old. What do I care to see the Chafetz Chaim? I'm playing in the sandbox. I'm playing with my friends. Who has time for the Chafetz Chaim? He said, my father came back a half an hour later, 10:30. He said, don't forget, in an hour and a half, the Chafetz Chaim is going to be passing through Bialystok. Everyone's going to go to the train station. He said, we were little kids. Who paid attention? My father came back at 11 o'clock, 11:30. 11:45, on his way, walking to the train, he stops off the last time and he says, look, I'm going. I hope you're all going to meet me there. And he said, we were children and we ignored him. And we missed out on that opportunity to be exposed one time in our lives to the Chafetz Chaim. We never got to see him. And he said, now I'm in my 90s. And I still feel that I'm lacking because I had that one opportunity in my life to see the Chafetz Chaim and I chose the sandbox over the Chafetz Chaim. In my 90s, he says, with all that I've accomplished, I feel that I'm lacking because I missed that opportunity to be exposed to greatness because I didn't have a chance to see what the Chafetz Chaim was all about. And it's something in his 90s that he regretted to that very moment. He told all of his students, you know, you'll say I was 5 years old, I was 6 years old, but he said, so 6-year-olds play in a sandbox. 6-year-olds play in the playground. 10-year-olds play on the Xbox. 20-year-olds play on their phones. 30-year-olds also play with the same silliness. It's a sandbox, just 30 years older. It's a playground, but we're not doing anything more productive. We're doing the same thing. And he said, how many times in our lives do we pass up on opportunities like that because we're busy playing in the sandbox? At 30 and 40 and 50 years old, we all have our own sandboxes and we all have our own playgrounds. And he says, we lose out on opportunities to expose ourselves to great moments of history, to great people of history, to condition ourselves to understand that this is where life is at. And then later on we regret it, but those opportunities don't come back to us. We don't have those opportunities every day. Seldom do we have the great fortune of being in the presence of someone figuratively like the Chafetz Chaim. Understand and appreciate the great gift that that is. Understand how inspired you can become from that and how influenced and encouraged you can be just from that kind of experience. Rebbe said, "Hai dechadna mechavroi, this that I am sharper than all of my friends is because I was inspired from the one time that I saw Rav Meir. The one time in my life." Do you understand what that means? He became the great Rabbeinu HaKadosh. You know, I read often today, there are all kinds of people in our world who write all kinds of things. It's none of my business what they write, but I do take it very personally when they write outlandish things that are officially halacha pieces that are totally off the rails and make no sense at all. And they write with such arrogance. People in our world today write with such arrogance. Almost as if they pass themselves off as real gedolim, as real greats of our generation. I always feel bad when I read these things. You know why? Because it shows me when you read that, that you've actually never been exposed to greatness in your life. That you don't know what a real gadol is. That you don't know what a real great person represents. If you think you're on that level and you can write something like this, it shows that you've just never been exposed to what the real world is, to what the real greatness of the Torah world is. I'll just give you one example. You know, every so often in Eretz Yisrael, when I was learning there as a single young man, my father would call me and he would say, you know, there was some kind of question that came up, can you go discuss it with the great Rabbi Yashiv? So I would research it for like a week before I went, and then I would go speak to him. On one occasion, there was a shayla that came up in Hilchos Geirus. It's not relevant what exactly the question was. Fascinating story, but for another time. And I had researched this topic very thoroughly. And there was a sefer that was quoted in my research that I saw. There was a sefer that was quoted. It's called the Teferes Lemoshe. Nobody ever heard of the Teferes Lemoshe. But there was something that was quoted from a manuscript of the Teferes Lemoshe. I wanted to see the original to see what he actually says. So I went to the Hebrew University Library and asked them to pull up from the archives the Teferes Lemoshe. It's a sefer from the 1600s, or 1700s, something like that. So they pulled it up from the archives. I checked it out. I went to speak to Rabbi Yashiv. We're in the middle of a conversation. And I said, maybe we can bring a proof from the Teferes Lemoshe. Before I even continued, he stopped me. He says, you can't bring a proof from that Teferes Lemoshe. I said, why not? He says, because if you look in the original, there's a brackets and a parentheses right in the middle of the sentence. It's not clear. A brackets usually means you put it in. A parentheses means you take it out. In halacha svarim, that's what it means. He says there's a brackets and a parentheses around one word in the sentence, so it's not clear exactly what he means. You can't bring a proof. I saw this with my own eyes. And I didn't warn him before I came about what it was that I was going to speak to him about. Expose yourself to greatness and you'll be humbled. You'll understand what greatness really is. You'll understand what's out there. That is what we're told here. Yihi beischa beis v'ad l'chachamim. That's the atmosphere we need to create in our homes. However, there comes a great challenge. Sometimes when we become very close with such individuals, sometimes when we become very familiar with such people, and we develop such a rapport and such a close relationship with these kinds of very special people, sometimes we lose our sense of admiration and respect for them. And we lose the sense of regard that we're supposed to have for such human beings. And therefore, look back at the very beginning of your sheet, the other side. Look back at our Mishnah and how it is structured. Yihi beis chabeis va'ad l'chachamim. Allow your life to be exposed to greatness all the time. These are the people you should affiliate with. Choose wisely who you want your role models to be. But understand that along with that comes a tremendous challenge. That you're not going to respect them as much as you should. I'm always amazed. My father goes in the summer for 2.5 weeks to NCSY Kollel. My father's almost 80 years old. He's got a lot of better things to do than to learn with high school kids, many of them who are not so interested in learning, many of them who are public school kids who don't even know how to read Hebrew. But he goes for 2.5 weeks in the summer because people tell him that it inspires the kids to meet someone like him. He doesn't just go. He spends 2.5 weeks learning from 6:30 in the morning till 10:30, 11:30 at night with any kid who wants to learn with him every day. That's what he does. He doesn't get paid for this, doesn't do anything. He just sits there all day and learns with whoever wants to come learn with him. I'm always amazed. He makes himself like one of the kids. What I'm most amazed is when some of these kids end up coming to YU. And their first day there, they go and put their hand around my father's shoulder and they say, hey, it's my chavrusa. And it's such a beautiful thing, the simplicity, the humility of my father, that it doesn't even bother him. He doesn't flinch. He thinks it's the nicest thing. But that's part of the challenge. When we become comfortable with such people in our lives, we sometimes lose the perspective of who they really are. So I remember there was a great person who lived in Queens. His name was Rav Moshe David Cooperman. I don't know if people know who he is. Very, very special person. He was very close with my father. So he, at his Levaya, I remember we all, some family members went to the Levaya. We were close with the family for a number of years. So one of the Rabbanim got up and he said that Mr. Cooperman asked me that at his Levaya we shouldn't speak about him. He said at his Levaya we should speak about Rabbi Schechter. So it was very strange that we were at a Levaya of Mr. Cooperman and then we were hearing Haspedim about my father. It's a little strange. Never had such a thing before. But one of the things that he said, Mr. Cooperman told him to say, one of the things really stuck out in my mind. He said when the Navi Yeshaya describes what the experience of a malach is, the Navi says that he has shesh knafayim, he has six wings, ubishtayim yeofeif, he only flies with two of them. That's a description that the Navi Yeshaya gives, that the malachim have six wings in the image that he saw, but they only fly with two of them. So Mr. Cooperman said the reason why he felt so close to my father was because he always understood that my father has six wings, that he's holding in a totally different stratosphere, but when he comes to communicate to the community, he only flies with two of them. That's what he said. And he said that that's the mark of a great Jewish leader, a person who understands you can be the great Talmud Chacham and the great person, but when it comes to dealing with the people who are not on your level, understand that you have to bring it down to their level and make them engaged into the conversation. Only fly with two of your wings because that's the amount that the community can handle. They're not holding on the level that you are. But a challenge along with that comes that we lose a sense of respect because we consider that person to be one of our peers, to be an equal to us, to be one of our comrades. And we don't understand that they're in a very different place than most of us are. They're living a very different life that is perhaps far more meaningful than many of our lives that we live. Here, says the Mishnah, is the second piece of advice. Heve misavak ba'afar ragleim, understand that as comfortable as you get with such individuals, you always need to walk at the dust of their feet. You always need to be a person with humility who understands that they are far greater than I am. And we are not equals. We are not peers. They are the teachers. They are the ones who are living a far greater life with the six wings. They might only fly with two of them when they communicate with us, but understand that they're in a very different place. Have a misavak ba'afar ragleim, understand that you walk at the dust of their feet. And number three, and with this we'll close, I see it's almost 10:30. Number three, a great challenge that we have is when we become so familiar with someone, we lose an excitement, we lose a passion for what it is that they represent. You know, I remember we would go around as children with my father all over the world. People would be so excited to hear him, and we as kids were just rolling our eyes. Like, again? We got to hear him speak again? We couldn't stand it. We were immature. We were kids. I wish I had those opportunities today where I didn't have to be busy and I could just go hear him all day long. Unfortunately, I don't. But when you become so familiar, when you become so close to someone, you lose that appreciation of what they represent and what they are and what they share with you. So you ever saw a young engaged couple or just married? Every time they get a text from the other side, they're going, showing it to everybody and talking about it. So exciting. What did they write to you? Oh, I just went to dinner here, I just went there, and I just finished my test. What's so exciting about that? It's exciting because you have a new appreciation for this person, and everything they say is very exciting to you. Fast forward 5 years or 10 years into the marriage, you're lucky if the person even turns on the hearing aid to listen to whatever it is that's being asked of them, right? It's not so exciting anymore because you become so close to that person that you lack that sense of appreciation and that sense of love for what it is that they share with you. So in Parshas Acharei Mos, the Torah tells us, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Daber al Aaron Achicha. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to your brother Aaron, Va'al Yavo B'chol Eisel HaKodesh. Yes, he has a job as the Kohen Gadol to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year. But al yavo b'chaleis al hakodesh, he does not have a right to come all the time. Says Rashi, why? Because lefisha galui shchinasi sham. Because that is where my shchina, that is where my presence resides. So shouldn't he be there all the time? And the answer is no. Because if Aaron will go there all the time, he will lose an appreciation for what it means to be in the presence of God Himself. You could be the great Aaron HaKohen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest place, with the holiest atmosphere, and yet you can lose the sense of appreciation. Now, I was born into a world where I don't know what it means not to have Yerushalayim. I don't know what it means. And because of that, the blessing that I have, I'm not so moved when I go to Yerushalayim. Because I don't know what it means not to have it. Because this is what I became used to in my life. How many of us cry? Can you imagine our grandparents? How much they would cry to have the opportunity to go one time to Yerushalayim, to see the walls of Yerushalayim, a dream that they never thought would come true. We don't cry anymore. Some people do. But for most people, they don't. Why? Because we become so used to this reality. It's not so exciting for us anymore. It's something that we take for granted, and it's something that loses its sense of inspiration. David HaMelech says a very troubling phrase in Sefer Tehillim. On the one hand, he asks, Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yemei chayai. I want that I should be a permanent resident here in the house of God for the rest of my life. Then the end of the pasuk, he says, Lachazoz b'noam Hashem ulevaker b'heichalo. I want to be a visitor. So which one do you want? Asked the Malbim. Do you want to be someone whose permanent residence is here in the Beis Hashem? This is where I'm comfortable. Or do you want to be levaker b'heichalo? Which one is it? So the Malbim so beautifully explains that David HaMelech asked for both of these requests. You know, this past Shabbos we had a beautiful opportunity. We had 35 families who many of them have not observed the Shabbos before. Thank you to the Cyclics for putting it together. It was beautiful. It was such a proud moment for our community. It was so beautiful. We had 35 unaffiliated families here on Friday night, eating together with 35 families from our community. It was an amazing scene. But one thing that did catch my attention was how everyone behaved in shul. So unfortunately, when it's your first time in shul, you have a very keen sense of the decorum that is expected in a shul. And because we come to shul all the time, we lose our sense of awe, of appreciation for what the shul represents and how we're supposed to behave in it. Yes, it's embarrassing when we come to shul and people are non-stop talking the entire davening. It's embarrassing. We should all be ashamed. Even if it's not us, we should be ashamed that this goes on around us. Why? Is that really what a shul is? Go into a church. Yes, they only go once a week. That's why they have more respect. Because they don't feel it's their home. David HaMelech says, this is human nature. This is what happens. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yemei chayai. Yes, I want to be a permanent resident of the house of God for the rest of my life. But there's a tremendous challenge when I do that. Because I lose the sense of appreciation for what it represents and for what it's all about. And therefore he asks, I want God also, levaker behechalo, that my perspective should always be that I'm a visitor. I'm here for the first time. I'm so excited to take in the experience. It's as if it's the first time. Imagine, the first time you lit Shabbos candles, I would imagine you were very excited. You weren't running out of the shower, half undressed and whatever, and trying to get it done because it's 2 minutes before Shabbos. Because the first time you do something, it's very exciting. And we make sure to pay attention to appreciate what those moments are all about. That's what David HaMelech asks. And that's what the end of our Mishnah says. As close as you become with those individuals, as much as you hold them up to be your role model, have a shoseh batzama es devrayim, understand that you always need to have that sense of appreciation. You always need to have that excitement. You always need to have that longing and that passion for whatever it is that they teach you. Although you've become used to their personality, although it's something that's become commonplace in your home, says the Mishnah, understand that there's a challenge that comes along with that. Always live life with a perspective of have a shosa batsama es divrehem. The Sefer Eish Kodesh, written by the Piazetzner Rebbe, has a line which I've always been so moved by. With this, we'll really close. So the Eish Kodesh writes, he makes a confession. And he says, Ribono Shel Olam. Yes, I know it by heart because I was so moved by it the first time I saw it. Ribono Shel Olam, ma uchal teis lecha. What can I give you? If I had to live life over again and do things differently, what would I do? Do I have any regrets? Lilmod, do I regret at all the amount of learning that I've done or the quality of my learning? Absolutely not, he says. Hare ani lomid b'chol kochi. From the day that I became an adult, I've given it my all. I have no regrets, I wouldn't do it any differently. Lihispalel, he writes, do I regret at all the way I connected with you, the way I dove into you, the way I was mispalel all the time? No. Hare ani mispalel b'chol kochi. I've given it my all. And I wouldn't do it any differently if I had the chance to do it again. He says, if there's one thing I could do, if I had the opportunity to live life over again, if there's one thing I could do, it would be this. Rotze ani lehisgayer. The one thing I wish for is that I was able to be born into the world as a person who has no appreciation and no understanding for what a life of Jewish values is all about. And then I would convert and come to that appreciation on my own. Rotze ani lehisgayer. What can I do? I was born into the family that I was born into. But I understand that that's what I'm lacking. I'm lacking the heveshose batsama es divrehem. Yes, I do not fully appreciate what it means to live this kind of life because I don't know a life any differently than the way I live it today. And therefore, said the Piazetzner Rebbe, if there was one thing I can do differently, had I been given the chance to live life over again, that's what I would want. Because so often as life continues on, we lose that sense of excitement. We lose that sense of appreciation and understanding of how lucky we are, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how lucky we are that this is the life that we have been put into this world to live. That these are the kinds of values that our families are meant to uphold. That this is the atmosphere that we have created for ourselves. And says our Mishnah, these are the three prongs to understand how to live a Torah life. Number one, Yehe Beischa Beis Va'ad L'Chachamim. Create an atmosphere, create a climate in your home where Chachamim are held to be your heroes, where they are going to be comfortable in the home that you live in. Number two, as you do that, always remember, have a misavek ba'afar ragleihem. Understand that as comfortable as you get with them, they are not your peers. They are not your friends. They are your teachers. They are people that you need to admire and look up to and respect. And number three, as close as you might be with them, never lose that sense of appreciation and understanding for how lucky you are to have them in your life. Have a shosa batsama estivrehem. Always have an eager longing and an excitement to appreciate the words that they share with you and the wisdom that they inculcate into your life. So, Amir